All right, thank you for that special. What a blessing. All right, just a little correction on one of the announcements. The ladies' Bible study with the luncheon, that'll be again on Tuesday at 10 o'clock, and then they'll be heading into the luncheon after the study's over. But my wife said to me, and she mentioned it the other day, and man, I wasn't right where I could write it down, so in one ear and out the other. I don't know, I'm just getting more forgetful as I'm getting older. And just a sign up only. They have enough desserts and, is that right?
Yeah.
Side dishes and desserts are covered. Okay, yeah. So we don't need that. They just need to know for sure how many are coming for the sandwiches. So make sure to get signed up for that. All right. I'd like you to take your Bibles. We'll turn to Psalm 90. Psalm 90. And this is a message that really came to in my mind and my thoughts, oh, I'd say a good 6 weeks ago. And it's just been hanging out there, and I've been just kind of throwing things into it a little bit here and there. Not a whole lot. Brother Jordan talked about this verse. He mentioned it in a prayer meeting a couple weeks ago, and there I thought, there it is again. So I knew it was there. And so the Lord led me to bring this message here this morning. And we're going to take a look at this whole psalm, but I'm just going to really focus on the last several verses, the last six verses. But what we have here, as we have in so many of the psalms, is it's a prayer, you know. So many of the psalms are prayers and praises, just looking unto the Lord and just praising Him and thanking Him. And that's what we have here. Now, If it's rightly entitled, it comes from Moses. It comes from the man Moses. And I believe only one psalm is attributed to him. Most of the psalms were written by David. Many of them are anonymous, so we don't know a number of them who wrote them. Of course, mostly David, like I said. But this one, I think it maybe came from Moses. We'll just go with that. In verses 1 through 11, we take a look here as Moses extols the God of heaven as the great God who just created all things. And he is just amazed at his great God, as we all should be. So I want to go ahead and just read through verses 1 through 11 as we start off. It says here in Psalm 90 in verse 1, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Oh boy, did you get a hold of that? Before he created anything, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. You've always been. But that'll just really fry some circuits in your brain, right? Just God's just always been. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. 1,000 years are just but a day or a watch in the night. That's what he's saying. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as a sleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70. That's 70. 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet it is their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. If you're over 80, boy, you've got some bonus years that have been added to you. Amen? Yeah, that's right. Who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. With that, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come to you this morning, and we're grateful for the opportunity to gather together. Thank you for this great opportunity to gather together with brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you that we can meet to exalt Christ. That's what we want to do more than anything else. Lord, we want to get out of your way. We want you to to be glorified. We want the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, to do His work in our hearts. Lord, you know all of the needs that are represented here today, and in your amazing way, you can address each and every one of them, in a split second. How great you are. You're not overwhelmed by anything. You're not overcome by anything. And we just thank you that we can trust you and look unto you. Thank you that we can call you Father. We just pray that you would do a work in our midst here today. Again, knowing all the needs that are here, we pray, Lord, that you might help some heavy hearts. We pray that you might help somebody that may be discouraged. We pray, Lord, that you would strengthen your people. Help us as we go forward to keep our focus and our eyes on you. Lord, if there's somebody here today without Christ, they don't know if they're saved or not, would you show them that they need Christ as their personal Savior? We pray that they would trust Christ. And so we've been glorified. So we ask it all in his wonderful name. Amen. Well, we see here that Moses is just in awe of God. He's in awe of the great Creator God that we have, that we know. And he says things that, you know, he is from everlasting to everlasting, as we pointed out there in verse 2. And a thousand years are like yesterday to him in verse 4. He goes on to say that he takes wickedness and wicked men and deals with them like a rider mower over a lawn, over grass. Verses 5 and 6. And as he continues, he shows forth that mankind, who is so full of pride, really just lives a paltry 70 or 80 years at best. A man's life is over before he knows it. And so with that idea in mind, it's good for us to get a good handle of what God's given to us, because we can easily fritter it away. And it can be gone before we even know it. So Moses is overcome with the greatness of God and the frailty of man. And so it brings him to pray unto his Creator and to ask him the following. And we're going to take a look at verses 12 through 17. And I'll read through there, and then I'm going to go back over these points. He says in verse 12, with all that he said up to this point, he says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long, and let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it." These circumstances that we find ourselves in ought to prompt every one of us to ask of the Lord this same thing, that we would look unto him to teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And so, in light of all this, let's see what Moses was led to pray. And we're going to go ahead and look here at verses 12 and 13 again. And verses 12 and 13, and we'll lead right into 14. "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long, and let it repent thee concerning thy servants." And so he says here in verse 14, "O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days." The first thing that I want to bring forth is what Moses asked for here in verse 14, and that is, satisfy us early, as he prays unto God. As he prays and says, "Father, please satisfy us early." The idea here and Moses' prayer to God is, please, dear Lord, answer our prayer as soon as possible, so that in doing so, we may have more time to enjoy and be satisfied with thee. Did you get that? Would you answer this prayer in thy mercies, Lord, as quickly as possible? I mean, you think about this life that we live, folks. As James likes to say in James chapter 4 and verse 14, it just goes away so quickly. It says in James 4:14, "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." Our life goes by so quickly, and so because of the fact that it is already pretty short, Moses is saying, "Please, Lord, help me to get on the right track right now so that I don't waste a whole lot of time. I don't want to waste time." That, folks, that makes total sense to me, that we would get an idea that as stewards, and God has given us responsibilities as stewards, if we know Christ as our Savior, that we're to be responsible for some things. We're to be responsible for ministries that he's given to us. We're to be responsible for the families that he's given to us. We're to be good stewards of the jobs that we have. But we're to be good stewards of the time and the years that we possess. God commands us to do that. So in light of this thought, we need to jump on this right now. We are not to procrastinate. I've mentioned it before that, I had a big procrastinator inside of me. And going through school and going through college, I would put things off till the last minute and then put them together. My wife is the complete opposite. And I've said that before, that when we had an assignment to do for the end of the semester, she would have it done in the next week. And I hated her for that. I like what someone once said, "Don't put off until tomorrow what you can get done sometime next week." Isn't that how many of us are? We put things off. The Bible does not put a premium on delay. God never encourages us to delay something out when we're to do it right away, especially when he requires or commands us to do something. We're to do it now. We're not to put it off. I think about salvation in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. It says this, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." So I would just say this to you. If you're sitting in here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, then don't put that off. Don't put it off. If God's working in your heart and dealing with you and showing you that you're lost without Christ, and we all are lost without Christ, that if you're here and he has convinced you of that, make that decision today. And then Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1, the verse that we read a little earlier, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." Young people, this is the time when you're young is to give your life to Christ. Yield your life unto him. Let him use you now. Don't put it off. Sometimes we just feel like that if we just give it some time, that maybe a little down the road, it'll be a good time to yield to God's calling. We have a tendency to do that. Folks, that is like flirting with disaster when we do that, when we want to push off something that we know that we should take care of right now. I think it was just about 2 weeks ago, my wife was shopping, and she came back and she brought some green bananas. I mean, they were really green. Remember those green bananas, right? And you know, those bananas were like sitting on the counter, and I was just trying to encourage him along. "Can't wait for you to turn yellow, guys. Come on. Come on. Yeah." And so we just waited and waited. And I thought, there's just so much potential here. I just can't wait for you guys to come to fruition. I just can't wait to enjoy you. And I just watched them, and they just kept staying green. What was going on? I think they were just way too green. She said, there was no yellow bananas in the whole bunch, right? Just green ones. So I watched them and waited and in great anticipation, and they just went from green to brown to black. Their potential just went down the tubes. And you know what, folks? Life can do that on us. We just think, yeah, you know what? Just give it a little time and then I'll be ready. I'll be ready to serve the Lord down the road. And you know what? the green bananas never turn into yellow ones, sometimes with our life. And it may be that God, you know, he doesn't do this in every situation, but there are times when God just is saying, and I've heard many testimonies of people that I knew God was speaking to me right then, that I needed to deal with it now, or God was going to maybe just send me to the side, that I needed to just respond to him right now. Now, I don't know who that is. It could be somebody here today, but I'm just going to say that don't fool around with that. If God works in your heart and he's working in your heart to do something and to turn your life over to him or to be a part of some ministry that he's calling you to, answer today. I would just say that's just the best course of action for every one of us, is to respond quickly. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time. We have an opportunity to redeem time. If we'll just yield to the Lord, God can somehow allow us to be able to purchase time that we frittered away. I don't know how that all works, but we can redeem time. Boy, let's not be negligent to respond to God. And so here is another reason why we pray to the Lord, teach us to number our days. First of all, is to satisfy us early, as Moses said there in verse 14, but also so that we can see his work. Let me just read verses 14 and 15 again. Oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. God, that you'll just take all of the time and everything that goes in our life and use it for your purposes. But then he says here in verse 16, and this second point that I've laid out as so that we can see his work, the very first part of this says that exactly. Let thy work appear unto thy servants. Let thy work appear unto thy servants. It's always a good thing, folks, to watch something be developed. It's always a good thing to watch something coming along and making progress. And we can fill in a whole lot of blanks with that. It's always good, and I think about the great memories we've had of watching our kids grow up and all of the experiences and just watching them do things as they're developing and growing. You know, we got a chance to go to, Jeff's baseball game the other day, or just yesterday, and it just reminded me of when our boys were playing Little League Baseball. And all of the great memories of watching them develop. It's a great thing to watch a house that you've purchased be built and watching it step by step being developed. Isn't that a good thing? It's a good thing. It's. I tell you, it is very rewarding. It's when you see God doing a work, when you see God at work and you see some things beginning to progress. And I watch what he's doing here in his church, and I watch his hands on it, and I watch him beginning to develop and mature different people and ministries. And it is just such a great blessing. It says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God wants to get into the middle of working. And that's what Moses was saying, so that we can see this work. So we that let thy work appear unto thy servants. It is so vital, folks, that we allow the Lord to do his work in us. It is so important that we yield unto him and let God do the work that he wants to do. It is a huge part of his will. It is what he wants to do. He wants to make us after the image of Christ. He wants to bring us forth so that we can be effective in his hands. He wants to fill us with his Spirit. But folks, that involves us just yielding to him, and it happens on a daily basis that we come to him and we just tell him, Lord, you've saved me, but now I want to yield my body unto you. I want to yield every part and every aspect, every facet about my life. I want it to be given unto you, and I want you to work in each and every part of it. And folks, as we begin to do that, he begins to do more and more in our hearts and in our lives. But not only is it crucial, folks, for us to allow him to do that, but it is also so necessary for us to be able to see it and thus acknowledge it. Because it's a good thing for us to, yes, certainly allow the Lord to do what he wants to do in our lives, but it's very important for us to see what he's doing and then to acknowledge it with some thankfulness. You know, when we do something for somebody, when we've done something for our kids, we expect them to be grateful, right? And we teach them to be grateful. You know, when somebody's done something for our kid, and I see it happen all the time, you know, you do something and the parents remind the children, make sure to say thank you, and that's a good reminder. It's good for us to be thankful, but folks, sometimes we can just get on autopilot and we don't even recognize what's going on around us when God is doing numerous things. In fact, I ask him over and over to help me with that because I know that I can drop the ball many times, and there are many times that I do. So I will stop myself many times in my prayer and just stop and say, Lord, I just want to stop and think about some of the things that you just did in this last 24 hours. And I just want to stop and thank you. And so I'll just go through, I'll rack my brain, and I'll just think about, you know, what took place the day before and how you just protected me. And then, Lord, you caused that to happen, and you allowed this to happen. Brother Hank has brought it up a number of times. Thank him for the things that could have happened that never did happen. You know, there could have been an accident. Somebody was heading to Seattle, and they were, I think it was the Frucianos, and they were backed up, and they couldn't, you know, way back, and it took them a long time to get there, and then it was brought up, well, maybe there was an accident ahead that maybe the Lord kept you from. Amen? Might have been something like that. And so there are things that we maybe will never see, but it's just good for us to just say, Lord, I know that there are many things that could have happened, and I never have you know, I'll never get to see them play themselves out, but I just want to thank you for those things. Amen. God will be pleased with that. It's just good for us to just be grateful. God is pleased when we're thankful. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And so it's good for us to see what's happening in our lives. I'm reminded of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. On the third day, when the Lord Jesus resurrected, they did not know that happened. And they were heading from Jerusalem, and they were walking to Emmaus, a good 7.5-mile walk, 60 furlongs. And as they were walking along, some stranger walks up alongside them. You know who that stranger was? It was the Lord Jesus Christ. And they walk along, and he says, why are you sad? Why are your communications so sad? And they said, well, don't you know what's been going on? I mean, I'm paraphrasing. You know, it's almost as if they said, do you live in a cave, mister? Don't you know what's happened? The Lord Jesus Christ, he came and did wonderful things, and he was crucified and buried, and today's the third day. So basically, with their slumped shoulders and their walk with their chin dragging the ground, basically they were saying, and we really don't know that he's resurrected like he said he would. It just didn't come about, and the Lord said, thou fools. Thou fools, not to believe all that the prophets have prophesied of. And I'm sure that, wow, this guy just called us fools. And then he read scriptures, and all of those things that pointed to him. Can you imagine that walk? And so they were not even aware who they were in the company of. And they get through the journey, and they head over to Emmaus, and they get off on the Emmaus off-ramp, and the Lord Jesus keeps going. And they're like, hey, wait, where are you going? Don't go. Come and join us. We've just had a blessed time. And the Lord, you know, the Lord does that to us sometimes. He wants to see if we really want his company. And they said, oh, we want you to come. You know, later on they said, did not our hearts burn within us when he spoke of those scriptures along the way? And he went in and they had this fellowship and he broke bread and he blessed it and prayed unto the Father. And when that happened, he vanished. And then it hit them. One of them was Cleopas. The other one, it doesn't say. But they looked at each other and said, that was the Lord. We were in the Lord's presence all this time. You know, 7.5 miles, you know, and I don't think that they were on a brisk walk. I think as they were walking leisurely along listening to the Lord, it may have been 3 hours of walk. And they said, all that time, and we didn't know that was him. But did not our hearts burn within us? And you know, folks, when we're in a walk of disbelief and we're not on a walk of faith, we don't see the things of God. We don't see God doing some things in our life. But the Bible says if we'll walk by faith and not by sight, God will help us to be able to spot those things. You know, it's a good prayer. I'll just say this. I'm a little bit on a little rabbit trail here. I'm on that trail with these two disciples. It's just good for us to say, Lord, help me to spot these things. Because, you know, the Bible says that daily he loadeth us with benefits. And it's just good to go through life going, ah, oh, thank you for that, Lord. And thank you for that. And I see your hand on that. And I see what you're doing there, Lord. And I just want to acknowledge it. And it may not always be positive, but we can say, Lord, you're good. And I just see your hand on this. And he's pleased by that. And may we learn to just ask God to reveal himself, to work in our midst, but that we also may notice it, that we also may see it. And then not only should we want God's workings to be revealed in us with all the benefits that come with it and for us to be able to see them as well, but even more so should we want God to work so that our children and the young people can see God's glory. Look at verse 16 again. I'll read the whole verse, but I'm going to look at the second part. Let thy work appear unto thy servants and thy glory unto their children. Thy glory unto their children. Listen, we shouldn't just want it for us, but we ought to want it for those that are going to come up behind us so that they can see God working. That's why the Jews would set up memorials. They would set up memorials of what God had done, whether it was in the Jordan. They were to set up those 12 stones in the river and some outside the river. And they said, in time to pass, your kids are going to ask you, what are those stones for? And you'll be able to tell them what God did. You'll be able to tell them how God dried up the Jordan so you could walk past. And as the priest led the way and you walked across and eventually you took down Jericho. And you'll be able to tell them and they'll be able to see what's taken place because of your walk with Christ. And that's what Moses is saying, so that not only that we can see what you're doing in our life, but we want those who follow behind us, our children, those young people in the church, that they'll be able to see Christ in our lives. They'll be able to see Christ working in the midst of this church. Amen? Glory. It ought to be what takes place. It ought to be what we want. We should never be hoggish of God's work and blessings in just our own lives, folks. Let's make sure that we want others to be a part of it as well, that we want others to see what God's doing. And then finally, in this matter of asking the Lord to teach us to number our days, it should be for the purpose of, and this is my third point, letting Jesus Christ's beauty shine through us, letting Christ's beauty shine. I think that that's just the epitome of it all, that Christ can be seen in us, that we're truly transformed, that we're not the same people that we once were. Because listen, there is a temptation for us, and especially for us who've been in church a long time, that if we don't yield to the Lord and we don't walk with him and we don't let him do his work in us, then you know what we're tempted to do if we want to be in church all the time? We're tempted to have to manufacture something on our own. You know what I'm saying? We're tempted to want to, oh, well, everybody's saying amen, amen. And everybody walks around with their Bible, and even though we're not reading it, even though we're not letting God speak to our hearts, we can play the part. We can be like a bowl of wax fruit in the corner that when you look at it, you just go, that looks wonderful, until you grab one and you take a big bite and you lose three teeth over it. It's not a good thing then. You know what? We can look that way. We can look like we're polished and everything's good. But if we're not letting God work in our hearts, then it's really not Christ being seen in us. We're just manufacturing. We're fabricating something. And you know how many of us do that? I mean, I know I've been guilty of that, but I think that there have been many Christians through the ages who just have to manufacture something because they're just not yielding to God, and they're just not getting in that book. It's when we get in that book and when we just yield our hearts to him that God begins to change us. He begins to transform us, and we begin to be something different than what we are, which is a good thing, and we become more and more like Christ. And that's what he says here in verse 17. He says, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Let the beauty of our God be upon us. Boy, what this world needs to see, folks, they don't need to see Ruben Garcia. And they don't need to see put your name in the next blank. They need to see Christ in us. Amen. They need to see something that's different about us. Somebody who's yielded to Christ. And not somebody who's trying to be ostentatious about it. Somebody who's not trying. No, just somebody who just humbly walks with Christ. And they can see Jesus Christ in us. The first part of this verse certainly connects with what the last part of verse 16 was speaking to. That God's work in us can certainly be seen by others. God's work in us can certainly be seen by others. And not for any celebration of self. Okay, again, it's not to lift ourselves at all, but solely for the purpose of giving God all of the praise for what he's done. It's to his praise. And we've got to tell ourselves that, Lord, there's nothing here. Christ said, without me, you can do nothing. I'm just nothing. But I just want you to be, I just want to yield this little vessel so that you can work through me. And if you can work through me, then great things can happen. Psalm 100 in verse 3 says, know ye not, or know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. It's God who made us. He is the one that deserves all of the praise and all of the credit. We are so prone to that, folks. We are just so prone. It's just kind of like, I don't know, it's just in our DNA. Somebody will come and visit for the first time up here to Coeur d'Alene, and they just say, wow, this is just beautiful. This is just gorgeous up here. And then we'll just say something like, well, thank you. Thank you, yeah. I don't know if you know it, but I was on the planning committee with the Lord, and he wanted to make this desert. But I told him, no, let's make some beautiful trees and some mountains, okay? So somehow we want to take credit for that. I mean, this is God's doing and everything that he does. And so sometimes when we've done something and we've been a blessing, oh, you are just such a blessing. Well, there's nothing wrong with saying thank you, but it's just good for us not to get too caught up into thinking, not to get caught up at all, by the way, into, oh, yeah, well, you're welcome. You're what? No, no, no. It's probably good to just say, well, thank you very much. All the credit goes to the Lord. It's what he's done. It's not anything that I've done. We've just yielded this little pathetic little body to him, but we want him to do his work. It's what the Lord does and not what we do. And so it's just good for us to back away and just allow him to have the praise and not, as our tendency can so often be, sometimes we want to be noticed. And sometimes when we're left off in a list of names of everybody that did something and your name got left off, it's like, wow, I can't believe they forgot me. How could they forget me? I'm never coming back here. Well, maybe the Lord sometimes allows that to happen, maybe because it's just good for us to just go, you know, it's probably good my name getting, I'd probably get all proud and lifted up. It's probably good to do that. It's probably good sometimes when everybody doesn't come, you know, groveling at your feet and saying, Mom, that was the greatest meatloaf ever. And nobody ever says anything. Somebody just goes off and they didn't even thank me. Maybe the Lord just put it in their minds not to thank you just so that you could just go, well, that's good. I don't really need that. Sometimes it just gets to my head. I'm just kind of rambling, I know, right now. I'm talking about meatloaf because it's already 12:05 and I guess I'm hungry. But folks, it's always in our best interest to want Christ to be lifted up and to be manifested in us, that the beauty of the Lord, our God, be upon us. You remember what Paul the Apostle said in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20? He said, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Paul got to a point where he just said, enough of me. I just want Christ to be exalted and magnified in me. I'm hoping people can see Christ in me because that's what will draw them to God, is Christ. And if we allow him to do that. And then the last part of this verse as we finish up here, he says, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. This is Moses' final part of his prayer. He says that, Lord, that you would establish us through our works, the works that we do for Christ, the works that we do for you, which, again, when they're done for God, may you establish us in that. May we become grounded and rooted in the things of Christ. It's a good thing, folks, to be established. Or as the Bible sometimes says, established. That we would be firmly in place. That's what he wants us to be. He wants us to be established in the things of God. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 9 says this, "For it is a good thing that our heart be established with grace." Boy, may we be full of the grace of God. And that verse lays that out so clearly. Again, to be rooted and grounded in Christ, which is Colossians chapter 2 and verse 5, that we would be rooted and grounded in Christ. How's that going to happen? It's when we learn to just walk with him every day. When we come across problems and we find a little quiet place or just even in our mind, Lord, help me. I need thy help. I don't know how to do this. I need your direction. I need wisdom and discernment about this decision I have to make, about the path that I need to go on. Folks, it's just good to always go to the Lord. It's just good to always ask him for his protection, for his safety, for his leading, for his guidance, for light to be opened up. And it's just good, folks, for us to do that on a regular basis. And you know what? When we do that, when we just learn to walk with Christ, and as Moses is praying that you would help us to become established in our works, that the devil won't be able to blow you off the path. I mean, you know, we get sudden winds here. We had one yesterday, and all of a sudden that big storm came over. What a dark cloud. And then it just, a torrential downpour, depending on where you were. And the wind that arose, and some trees got knocked over. But you know what? That's just sometimes what the devil is trying to do. He'll be a dark cloud sometimes over us, and a trial may come your way. And he may blow with all of his might to just try to get you off the path. But folks, if you're grounded and settled and rooted in Christ, he won't blow you off the path. You'll just stay strong. It says, and I love this verse in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 26, "Ponder the path of thy feet." In other words, know where your feet are going. In other words, serve the Lord and do right and let all thy ways be established. And let all thy ways be established. As we walk with the Lord and as we think about everything that we do, Lord, is this pleasing unto you? Would you endorse this? Lord, lead me and guide me. And as we ponder the pathway of our feet and the direction that our feet go, then our feet and our lives will be established in Christ. Folks, may we do that. Not a one of us knows when our days are over. You know, it says in Proverbs 27, I think it's the 27th proverb in verse 1, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Listen, there's not a one of us who knows when our last day is. You know, I'm hoping that our last day on this earth is today and the Lord's coming and takes us out of here. That would be wonderful. But we may still be here for a number of years, and we don't know how long we have to live. It may be that we're going to find out, one of us, myself, maybe somebody here, that we find out in this next year that we have cancer and that it's already at a stage 4 level or at the highest level that it can be. And so we may find that our days are very numbered at that point. But you know what a good prayer for us right now is, Lord, to teach us right now to number our days. We don't know the number of them, but you know, if we'll yield to the Lord and just trust him, and as we pray, Lord, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom, then the Lord does know our last day, doesn't he? And he'll direct, and he'll work in our lives, and he'll use you and I in the way that is pleasing unto him. He'll use our lives in such a way that we won't fritter away time as much as we used to. I think we'll probably all fritter some away, unless you're able to bat 1,000, like I like to say. But you know what? If we'll just yield unto him, it's good to just put our hands in our lives into the hands of God. And so what Moses' prayer was ought to be our prayer. Lord, teach us to number our days. If you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't know for sure if you died that you'd go to heaven, you don't know the number of your days. And God does. And that's why today should be the day of salvation for you. I'm not trying to horse collar you or do something that, you know, that wouldn't be right. But I just want to encourage you. Paul talked about, he persuaded men and women to just trust Christ. And if you're here without Christ, then I want to just encourage you to trust the Lord Jesus Christ today. And as a child of God, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, then let Moses' prayer be our prayer. Amen. Lord, teach us to number our days. Help me not to put off something that I've been putting off. I need to just give it to you. And I want to just walk with you from day to day. I'd like you to bow your heads at this point. In just a moment, we'll have a word of prayer.